Let the game of legislative chicken begin. That's the headline from Gongware News Service's Zach Gorchow. It's his latest piece on the passage of big auto insurance changes in the state Senate. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Zoe.
So as we've reported, this thing dropped and was voted on all within one day this week. The legislation would allow drivers to purchase lower insurance coverage amounts. It would basically end unlimited medical benefits for folks injured in accidents. But you've really been thinking and writing about the political implications of this bill, because it is not happening inside a vacuum.
No, you basically have three showdowns that are brewing right now.
Dun,
and they're
dun.
All interrelated, as major issues tend to become in Lansing. You have auto insurance, you have the budget, and you have road funding. And on all three, the Democratic governor, Gretchen Whitmer, and the Republican-led legislature are staking out very different positions and are really on a collision course.
Do you think, so for Lansing reporters, astute Lansing reporters like yourself, I think most of us are trying to be like, what are they trying to do? What is the end game here, right? Do you think they even know what the end game is here?
I asked a lot of people the question yesterday who are following this issue, what is the goal here? Because this, you know, this is, if the insurance industry could have a dream bill, this would be it. And, you know, that's fine, but you have to get the governor to sign it, and she's not going to sign this type of a bill. And the consensus is they're basically going to dare the governor to veto this, that they feel auto insurance is such a potent issue with the public because of the rates continuing to climb upward, and because the governor has been pretty tight-lipped on auto insurance, it really hasn't been foremost on her agenda. She hasn't said a lot about what she would like to see happen there, that I think they feel enough is enough. They've certainly kept their powder pretty dry so far this year. They haven't gone and thrown a bunch of bills on her desk that she would reflexively dislike. And I think they're of the mind, it's time. Let's put this on her desk. If she somehow signs it, which is not going to happen, but if she somehow did, great. But otherwise, we'll use this against her. That obviously, the latter option does not accomplish the goal that I think most people have, which is to find some way to deal with rates and the rampant lawsuits and abuses that are going on in the system while still maintaining a quality of care. And it's really an answer that has eluded people for decades.
I was going to say, I mean, generations. So we did see this interesting dynamic, though, because we've all sort of been used to, under the Snyder administration, a pretty tight-lipped governor who wouldn't normally say, you remember this, whether he was going to sign or veto something. Gretchen Whitmer came out and basically said, I will veto this, right? So again, kind of staking this claim. But I want to talk about the two Democrats who voted with the Republican majority. And we have a clip. Here's Senator Adam Hollyer of Detroit speaking on the floor about why he is supporting the legislation.
A number of plans have come across and been said of, these are better options. We should do those things. Count me in. But today I got an opportunity to lower people's rates. Is it the best plan? No. Does it still have a long way to go? Absolutely. But I believe that's what the legislative process is here for.
So what do we know about why these two Democrats voted for the legislation, and how does that play into just the swirl of politics going on here?
Both Senator Ollier and Senator Santana are on Team Duggan. They were backed by the mayor in last year's Democratic primaries. Mayor Duggan, of course, has been a big proponent of getting rid of the unlimited medical benefit and making big changes to how auto insurance handles injuries from traffic crashes. So it wasn't terribly surprising that they were going to jump on board a bill like this. Now, we haven't heard from the mayor on this bill, and I don't think that's surprising because I don't think he wants to be getting into a public battle with the governor on this right now. But, you know, look, these were two people that had the mayor's strong support because they were with him on insurance.
So where is, let's flip houses here and go to the Republican-controlled House. We have talked about this before. We have seen this movie before. Senate Republicans vote or push for auto insurance changes, and it seems to languish in the House. What are you hearing right now about House Republicans?
You know, it's funny, Zoe. There's, on the one hand, our folks who really monitor the House closely say there is still a cadre of somewhere between 8 and 12 House Republicans that are not on board with this kind of a change. This ends the unlimited medical benefit in a big way. In fact, puts a pretty strict cap, a backdoor cap, on what medical benefits would be. Historically, that has gone nowhere in the House. Now, membership, of course, has changed some, but you still have Republicans in Oakland County who have a lot of health care there and have L. Brooks Patterson, and they're going to be reticent. And you still have a lot of Republicans in Kent County who are mindful of their health care providers as well. Are a handful of Democrats who were elected again with Mayor Duggan's support who could go for this bill. But, you know, it doesn't seem like today there's enough. Now, that said, from what we're told, Senate Republican leadership and the House Republican leadership have been in a lot of communication on this. And at least the impression that the Senate Republicans have gotten is that from the House Republicans is that this is doable. And everyone seems to agree the longer the bill that passed yesterday sits in the House, the less likely it is to pass. So this was a bit of a gamble on timing to pass it now, because honestly, unless the House knows it has 56 votes ready to roll next week, this was a big mistake to pass this as soon as they did, or at least they need to get it out of the House in the next couple of weeks, because now you're going to see all the groups that don't like this bill, and are many, are going to start pounding on House members. There's going to be a mobilization of groups to lobby House members against this bill. So, you know, there's a lot riding on Speaker Chatfield here to deliver these votes, and it's unclear whether they're there.
It will be super interesting to watch next week. And then, of course, at the end of May, we have the Mackinac Policy Conference, where all the lawmakers head up to Mackinac Island and negotiations could possibly continue. And who knows what will come out of those talks.
Yeah, I mean, if this goes all the way to Mackinac and the House hasn't acted, I'd say the bill is in pretty serious trouble. It says that the votes are definitely not there because, you know, several weeks will have gone by and that the groups are able to apply the brakes. You know, something like this, like you saw what the Senate did yesterday, quick strike. There was, you know, a matter of hours between the time the content of the bill was unveiled and it passed. There was no time for groups to look at the bill and say, we've got to start pounding on senators A, B, and C and say, no, you can't vote for this. This is a problem. It was already out of the chamber.
79-page bill dropped and voted on all in one day. Zach Gorchow is with Gongware News Service. His latest is Let the Game of Legislative Chicken Begin. You can find it on the Gongware website. Zach, thanks so much for your insights.
Hey, thanks for having me, Zoe.